Let us look to God in prayer. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The Revised Common Lectionary sets the Gospel of the Transfiguration for this Sunday to focus our attention and devotion on the true person of Christ Jesus. Not the good man only, or the divine Son only, but both. On this Sunday before Lent, the lectionary explores the great theme of transfiguration. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are striking similarities between the account of the Transfiguration and the account of the cross. So today we are looking at St. Luke's Gospel. Chapter 9, verse 28 is a kind of reminder. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter, John, and James and went on the mountain to pray. When we look at Luke chapter 9, by this time of the story, the disciples had been with Jesus nearly 3 years. And after all that they had seen and learned, Christ brings them to a moment of decision by asking them a pointed question. Luke chapter 9 verse 20, just before our passage, "Who do you say that I am?" After all you have seen, after all you have learned from me, after all that you have heard about me, so what is your evaluation of me? That is Christ's question. Peter answered, "You are the Messiah of God. You are the Christ of God." As soon as Peter comes to this confession of faith, Jesus begins to speak to them about the cross. And this is the first time in the Gospel that Jesus spoke about his suffering and death on the cross. Luke chapter 9 verse 22, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." This is a turning point in the life of Christ and in the ministry of Christ Jesus. Now, this was not so good for them to hear. This did not go down well. Matthew records for us that Peter protested about the idea, about the cross, and then Jesus rebuked him, "Get behind me, Satan." We see very clearly the tension between Jesus and the disciples. When Jesus predicted his sufferings and death, the disciples must have thought, "Where are we heading to? What the future holds for us?" There must have been uncertainty and fear in the minds of the disciples. So now probably Jesus wanted to strengthen them, show them and to us a glimpse of his glory. Most probably Jesus chose this mountain way up in the northeast of the land of Israel, Mount Hermon by name, which is 9,500 feet high, 11,000 feet above the level of the Jordan Valley. So there he was transfigured before them. Now the word transfigured is obviously why we call this the Transfiguration. The Greek word that Matthew and Mark use is basically our word metamorphosis. It means to be transformed, changed into another form. It could not have been easy for Luke or other gospel writers to put this incredible experience into words. Therefore, the gospel writers describe what physically happened to Jesus, each in slightly different ways. The sight before these three disciples was actually beyond description. It was both frightening and impressive. And they were stunned by it, for they had seen blinding glory. They saw Jesus in a completely different way and setting. the Jesus they had never seen before. The three disciples saw a taste, though, of his boundless glory, such that they were able to somehow comprehend. God has a way of doing that. We find it all through the Old Testament, where he would visit his people in some form or fashion that they could comprehend it, and even endure to be in his presence. Just like in our Old Testament reading, Moses was enabled by God to be in the presence of God. And our Old Testament reading says the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. So there is a secret. The skin of his face shone. When we spend time with God, the light of Christ shines through us. And here we see Jesus did the same by giving them a glimpse, a taste of the boundless glory that is his. Something they can comprehend and endure, but also be pushed by. And they brought the benefit that they gained to the whole church, to us. 30 years later, Peter in his second epistle wrote, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were there with him on the holy mountain." And 60 years later, John in his gospel wrote, "We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." That is the point of the transfiguration. Life in the world as we live it every day is not the whole story. It's not the whole picture. There is a reality beyond what we see, hear, taste, and smell, or recognize. And it's glorious beyond all words. Jesus lifted the corner of the veil, and his three disciples saw unspeakable glory. Through Peter, James, and John, he gives us, the church, a glimpse of the transcendent glory that the Lord Jesus enjoyed before his incarnation and will return to the following his passion, death, and resurrection. A glory that he shares with his church. A glory that he shares with you and me. A glory that he invites his people into. And this is what St. Paul says. We will be changed from glory to glory, because there is no end of his glory. You see, the point is to sustain and encourage us to, during these dangerous and agonizing times, to sustain us too when we go through difficult times as individuals, a time of pain and suffering. There is laid up for Jesus and all who believe in him such glory as the hearts and minds of human beings never conceived. It's not only promised, but part of it has actually been seen by three competent witnesses: Peter, James, and John. If Peter, James, and John had any doubts before as to who Jesus was, seeing Jesus lit up like the blazing sun, seeing the long dead Moses and Elijah alive before them, and now hearing a voice from heaven, surely they had no doubts now. This was a moment they would never forget. It was an insight to the future. It is a foreshadowing of the risen Lord. Jesus gives this frightened, uncertain, confused, and discouraged men a glimpse of the future. The emphasis throughout the episode is on the dazzling attestation of Jesus' identity. It's not a changed Jesus, by the way, but Jesus, how he really is. The transfiguration of Jesus revealed to his closest disciples and to us that it's crucial to listen to Jesus, as we just sang in our gradual hymn. The last verse says, "Hear and seek him." Only twice in the Gospels does God, the voice, speak. Once at Jesus' baptism and again here. "This is my son, the beloved," adding, "listen to him." We hear him as we worship. We hear him as we study scripture. We hear him in the voice of other Christians. Listen to him. These few words summarize the meaning of the transfiguration. On this mountain, God reveals Jesus as God's son, the beloved, the one in whom God is well pleased, the one to whom we must listen. Because sometimes we too are faced with various doctrinal and ethical questions. How do we find our way in an increasingly complex world? God answers, listen to him. Because Christianity is about the power of the Son of God. Verse 8 of our gospel this morning says, "Lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone." Each of the synoptic gospels includes this verse, a measure of its importance. God acknowledged Moses and Elijah by having them appear with Jesus in the revelatory moment. But this voice speaks only of Jesus. We can wonder how the disciples knew they were Moses and Elijah, and as well as why they were there. Well, Moses seems to represent the Old Testament law, while Elijah represents the prophets. Both of those portions of the scriptures point ultimately to Jesus Christ. Moses and Elijah are gone, and Jesus alone remains. We are reminded of our debt to Moses and Elijah, but in the final analysis, only Jesus is Savior. By the way, you know, only Christians have the Savior. No other religion have a Savior. No other religion have a Savior. Only Christians. Because the other religions say, do it by yourself. Christianity says, believe, only believe in the Son of God. So this is an uncomfortable word in a multicultural world. It is nevertheless the clear word of the New Testament. Moses and the prophets are helpful, but in the end there is only Jesus. Science and education can be helpful, but in the end there is only Jesus. Jesus alone. That needs to be the focus of our proclamation. In today's New Testament reading, Paul says, "For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus." He's not the good man only, or the divine son only, but both. We must proclaim Christ as not anyone or anything else. Dear friends, as the years of our Christian life go on, our understanding of God's majesty and glory and power and brilliance should grow, so that more and more we love him, yet we tremble in awe and fear before God. The Christ you serve, the kingdom you are investing your life in, is not some lost cause. We are part of the kingdom that will never end. It increases our motivation to work for Jesus. For everything we do matters. It is useful. It's not in vain. We do not do things to gain salvation. That is free. But we do everything in response of what He has done for us. We do not serve some weak or ailing Christ who is unable to stop what is going wrong in our lives or in the world. We serve our risen Christ who sovereignly moves history towards His climax, which will be the day in which He will be revealed in glory. The next time Jesus is seen in glory will be at His second coming. If we are going to sustain lifelong devotion to Jesus, we need this vision, this glimpse of the future. As we are preparing ourselves for Lent, God is saying, before you face the cross, see the glory. So be encouraged as we go into Lent. The resurrected Christ is with us throughout our journey of life. Whether we are in a city or whether we are on the mountaintop, He journeys with us and is the only one we should listen to. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us proclaim our faith and stand.